There's a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is a dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Dildo Podcast. This is your host, Tigger, and as always, with me is my co-host, Nixon. Say hi, Nixon.
Hi, wonderful people.
All six of you. So, what's up? Doing good, Nixon?
I'm doing fine. It's like, every day is the same, like the previous one. So, yep. I kind of do lose track of time, so I have no idea when was the last time we recorded, actually.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow, okay.
I mean, we're living that nice quarantine life, but to spice up everything up, we have brought a special guest. Say hi, special guest.
Hi, special guest.
And who the heck are you?
Who are you? Hi, my name's Nathan. I'm a deck builder from Toronto. You might have seen me around Twitter. Just here to chat with you guys today, and let's have some fun.
You're also a TikTok superstar, right?
I wouldn't go that far. I'm like you guys. I am also very, very bored, and I have aggressive ADHD, so I need to do something. So boredom has led me onto TikTok, and now I can't stop. So send help.
At least your content is funny.
Yeah, well, it's I hang out. I think of something stupid that happened to me, and. Or that I find kind of, like, funny and then, like, end up recording something. But, like, sometimes a lot of the jokes in Magic just kind of make themselves.
Like Companions?
Like Companions, yes, yes, yes. Companions did, or like, the original partners. That hurt.
I think that Companions are hurting Magic overall way more than the partners.
Yes, from what I've seen, the Wizards truly did make it the year of Commander, because apparently everybody's playing Commander.
Whether they want it or not.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, you know, like, you've got a Commander now.
I was watching an online vintage tournament, and guess what? Lutri and Lotus were all over the place.
Yeah, like, I don't really participate in a lot of Magic outside of Commander, but I do consume quite a bit of content, and like, one of my buddies does play Modern, so like, I'm checking in every now and then and be like, yo, how are you guys doing? And he's just like, they're playing Lurrus and Burn, and I'm like, oh,
why wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's like, you realize now Burn, the one thing that held it back was the lack of repeated card advantage, but now they can just bobble all the time and start gaining card advantage, and like, that's not good. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Ironically enough, that tournament that I was watching was actually taken down by a deck that didn't have a companion.
Oh, because nice.
Dredge is a fair mechanic.
When Dredge is fair, things are wrong. I'm like, Dredge, from my understanding of it, has always just been like kind of like one of those mechanics where they just go like, why the hell did we do this? And like, this is a mistake and we're never reprinting this. And if Dredge is like fair in a meta, that's like saying, like, to me, that sounds like saying, like, oh yeah, Flash is fair, and I'm just like, what the hell happened?
Dredge is never fair in the meta, just that everybody was focusing more on, you know, outvaluing their opponents, and nobody was bringing that much graveyard hate.
Yeah. It's like trying to correlate to figure out, like, what it means to me from when everybody else is like, oh, this is what's going on in our side of the format. I'm like, on a level of, like, here to here, how bad is it?
I'm impressed how bad it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You're a Commander.
Ironically enough, Commander is the format that's going to be least impacted by Companion.
Yeah, which I found very interesting, that they introduced the Commander mechanic to basically every format except for Commander.
I mean, you can play it besides Lutri, rest in peace.
Yeah, that was... I was, like, so stoked when that got released, because I was just like, finally, like... like I'm trying to find like ways to build casual decks that I'll have fun doing, and I'm like, Otter, that'll be hilarious. And then I like immediately scroll down, and it's just like Lutri's Band. I was just like, that was, oh damn it.
We did mention it on the podcast that week that if they made it anything else, it would have been fine.
It would have been fine. Yeah, yeah, no, like if it was just so cute.
Yeah.
It's like, I, like, at the end of the day, we're all Magic players, like, doesn't matter what kind of format we play, like, it's, like especially in Commander, we kind of, like, latch on to something, and, like, we are Commander players, and, like, cute Otter that does something is, like, playable.
Yep, instantly.
I mean, yeah, I'm a person who gets stuck on a deck for years, so if I would find something like an Otter that I found enjoyable, I would be super sad if it got banned.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm really glad the way they did it, because it was like a, like, just pull the knife out, like, immediately, like, okay, okay, fair enough.
Rip the Band-Aid.
Yeah, just rip the Band-Aid off, like, I am really glad they went with that before, like, I bought one.
I mean, I still might get one just because of the art.
Yeah, fair enough.
Imagine getting that in a foil, just putting it in a small frame and putting it on a wall somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, or, like, if it is a casual deck, like, hey, can I play Lutri as the commander? Like, we all know what's up.
People have allowed me to play with Braids, so I think our groups would be super fine.
Yeah, but, you, like, the group that you play with also likes to get hurt.
Oh, definitely.
It's less that, it's more that we have played with Braids, and it was underwhelming most of the time.
Fair enough. But, like, if the text that you guys throw around, I'm like, you guys are, like, the reason why I made that video about the masochists.
I mean, you didn't see the worst of the meta. There was a summer of stacks last year, right?
God. Well, see, my whole thing is I came in from, like, when I started playing EDH, it was, like, casual level, but I had, like, not really a lot. But I couldn't stand the three-hour games. Mm-hmm. So I just started trying to kill people quicker just so I could move on. Like, go first, like, again, aggressive ADHD. Like, after about an hour, I need to stand up, go for a smoke, walk around, and then come back, and I can play another hour-long game. If I was, like, stuck in an all-stacks meta, I'd be screaming.
Surprisingly, our games lasted, what, 1 hour max? But that's the max. Usually it was, like, half an hour-ish?
Yeah, with my... It was interesting because, like, with my old playgroup, like, as we went from casual to more competitive, we got so used to, like, our, like, really interactive, hot and heavy 45-minute mm-hmm. long games that, like, we got to, like, one game where we lasted, like, it was, like, an hour and 30 minutes and we're all looking at each other and, like, just someone do something. Do it. Do it now. Bill, I'm like, now you all know how I feel.
And the, like, funniest, even the, we had, yeah, oh, finish it, about, sorry.
Oh, I was saying, even the most conservative person at the table was sitting there like, I know you have open mana, I have an ad nauseam, I am going to ad nauseam until I win or die. Like, that's the level that we were getting to. It's just like, okay, am I not winning this turn? Fuck it, I'm out.
The silliest, most recent thing we had, I think, in Nixhat, I don't think he... Can't remember if you were part of that game, but it was Robbie, me, and two other people. There was two Strangleholds and two Avian Mind Censors at the play at the same time.
Two Strangleholds and two what?
Avian Mind Censors. See, that was the magic that Garfield intended us to play.
Okay, I started playing Magic, like, very casually in, like, 93, and when everybody says that, like, that is the magic Richard Garfield intended, I honestly remember going Island, Mox, Time Walk. Like, that was, like, so I don't know, when everybody throws around, like, that's Richard how it intended, I'm like, okay, but fair enough, but, like, land, Mox, Time Walk, go to turn two, land, like, that was
magic that Garfield originally intended was a bunch of Lotuses, a bunch of Fireballs, and things like that, because there was no...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 20 mountains, 20 lightning bolts. That's it.
Yeah, like, one of my other decks was, like, because, like, the whole four of rule was only in tournament play was just, like, ancestral recalls and, like, lightning bolts. Like, draw card, blast, blast, draw card, blast, blast, blast. Okay, you're dead now.
What more do you need?
Nothing. I think that's why blue red is kind of popular.
Well, he did originally think that the availability of cards would be so little that people would actually have difficulties with constructing such decks, but no.
No. it really wasn't. It didn't be like that.
I mean, that is not how it would be. I imagine some kid being offered crack, but then he looked at, you know, Mox Opal and being like, I don't need drugs. This seems like a safer option. It wasn't.
Yeah, well, like, I started playing Magic again, like, around the same time that I quit drinking. So I had a lot of disposable income and a void to fill in my life. And Magic just kind of, like, came through that door just like, sup, bitch? And I'm like, hey!
Hey, have you heard of my friend Wizard List?
Yeah, exactly. Like, would you like to replace one addiction with a different addiction? I'm like, sure, why not?
Why not? I mean, both kind of forced to be social most of the time.
Yeah, however, like, I also, like, only go out rarely, and I, like, own, like, most of the cards that I play. So, like, when I'm building a deck, I basically have it, and people are like, oh, so how often do you get to go out and play? And I'm like, once every month.
What do you mean, play?
Yeah, what do you mean, yeah, like, what do you mean, like, oh, shit, I should go talk to people and do this shit, right?
Don't you build decks just so you can goldfish them at home?
Almost sometimes, yeah. Either that or I'll just build a list and go, hey, this is disturbingly bad, I want to play it.
And then you don't.
Well, and then, well, depends on the level. If it's really, really bad, like, truly, truly bad, and, like, good, I will build it in paper. That is how Hippo Hulk happened.
Huh.
And I had that in paper, and I went out and I played that in paper with people, and when it happened, it was well worth the trip.
10% of the time, it happens 100% of the time.
Yeah, and that's all that matters, because when you see a whole bunch of, like, really, like, very, very good, very smart, like, tactical deck builders playing actual decks and, like, playing them well, and, like, somehow at the end of, like, a counter war chain, like, you sneak in with a flash and everybody looks at you like, what? And you're like, okay, so this is about to, what, this is what's gonna happen, and, like, you explain the combo to them, and you're like, and you all die with infinite hippos, and they just look at you and just wonder why. Why did you do this? Why did you spend this much money just to do this? And I'm just like, because I can. Because the look on all your faces right now is exactly why I'm doing this. And can we shuffle up and go again? And everybody just is like looking at me the entire time because they do not want to lose to Feldegrip a second time. Ever. And it was just like, I made you respect Feldegrip. I win. That's it. Done.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, like, am I a troll? Maybe, but am I having fun? Yes.
And that's what's important.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, that is why I'm going out there. I am playing CDH, I am enjoying myself, but just sometimes I might do some weird shit.
So, it seems that we've lost Igor. Oh, here he is back.
Oh, hi, Igor.
Yeah. Discord is being a good old buddy.
Oh, yeah. I was staring at it.
What I was trying to say is, do you guys want to do Commanders of the Week? Or month, or whatever the time in quarantine is.
Commanders of the Quarantine.
Yeah. Because I have not been playing almost any Magic this quarantine.
Well, there was a couple things we could talk about. There was, as we were chatting about earlier, your friends wanted you to play Gates deck. That is fine.
I'd rather talk about my experience with Brawl on Arena than talk about Gates.
Fair enough.
So, what I did on Arena, since I don't really play Arena, like, that much, but I did notice that you can actually unlock some content quite fast if you're, like, into it for some time. So I just decided to build a very simple brawl deck that was Niv-Mizzet, the the Niv-Mizzet Reborn.
Yeah, five colors.
And of course, I put Jyngatha as my companion, because it seems only natural that I have a companion that says tap, play Niv-Mizzet.
Actually, might I indeed for a second? This is literally word for word the last commander of the week you had on the last episode.
It is? I thought I played it after. Okay,
nope.
So...
like you said, time is irrelevant.
Let's go to something else. So, I'm in the process of building a five-color Sisse. Because I...
that's a Jyngatha.
Well, I tried building it for Jyngatha, but I realized that I'm losing too much power because of that.
Yeah, you're losing ad nauseum, force of will, counterspell, if you're still playing that, and a couple other things, right?
Oh, I was more concerned about losing, like, the War of the Spark Ashiok and Narset.
Oh, true. Yeah, you can't play those either. That sucks.
And also, I just want to build a Brisella at one point.
Yes, now that's yes.
And so, Nate, you would love Nyxia's magic.
So, the thing is, I don't really know what my planned combo for the deck is, but I do plan on winning through combat damage primarily, by stacking some people just so they don't win with combos.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sisse can just tutor up a lot of stacks pieces.
Yeah, because a lot of those things are, like, legendary.
I mean, Zakama is one of the finishers.
Ooh, nice.
And I definitely did put in some utility in the form of, like, Vendilion Click, because it's, you know, it's legendary. And with Narset out, if they, like, tutor for something, draw, then... and then I can just pull it out of their hand if I get to priority before they actually cast it.
Nice.
It's a thing. Then there's also Sakashima the Imposter is also really nice because he's legendary. He's a clone effect, and he doesn't kill your legendary.
Yeah, because the name change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the fact that the name stays the same.
Yeah. So I do. I usually prefer my decks more utility heavy than streamlined into combos because I don't like it when my deck plays the same every game.
Yeah.
So I'm more of a old, what's it called? More interactive player where I'm just looking how to outplay my opponent, not just, you know, out tutor them, I guess. And so I did sacrifice my two color Sisse for the deck because I'm also doing the Heliod Ballista combo.
Mm-hmm.
If I manage to find Ballista, but to find Ballista, I first have to get to Metalcraft so I can tutor up my Inventor's Fair and then use Inventor's Fair to search for Ballista. Mm-hmm. So that's a bunch of hoops, but if it comes to that point, I will get to Ballista. And that's about it. I'll see how the deck works.
That reminds me of my trying to like do some stupid things with the land. When Golos was spoiled, I ended up building like a five color Brea World Gorger deck that used World Gorger Dragon ETBs and Golos to tutor up Sunscorched Desert and kill everybody with that.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah, that they did suggest me that I go with that route with Golos, but I like my Golos the way he is. He's not a competitive deck by any means.
Yeah.
He's more of a, like, I would say a high power casual.
Mm-hmm.
But I did set at some games of competitive and then just randomly, like, play Golos turn 3, and then turn 4, activate Golos, reveal a Zakama, and then just randomly ruin everyone's day.
Yeah. That is also like the magic that some people have been playing recently, or the CDH for that some people have been playing recently, like Dan from the Lab Maniacs. Like, he's been talking about like his meta where it's just gotten so weird that everybody's just trying to go over top of things. So, like, but like, if you land a Sakama, like, that's gonna take over some stuff. Like, that's gonna start to hurt people badly.
Oh, definitely. It just randomly kills all combo pieces.
Oh, yeah. It's just, like, that's why there's some people, or, like, I've seen people in Keenan playing, like, Jin Gitaxis, because if you can flip that off the top.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna ruin someone's day.
Ouch.
Yeah, like, I was watching a, I believe it was playing with Power, they were playing a stream, and I think it was Folger was playing Keenan, and he's just literally there like, wait, it's like, I'm gonna activate Keenan in your end step just in case I flip a Jin, and he's just like, okay, activates it, flips the card, guess what it is, Jin attack. Everybody's just like, oof.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that Blue-Green finally got some powerful cards, because that color combination was always so, so weak.
Oh, man, I was sick of Keenan the moment he was spoiled. Every time I see him play, I'm like, wow, that's impressive, I also want to puke.
I just puked on the inside, I was just like, okay, I see what my life is.
Yeah, like, when he got when they got spoiled, I was just like, hey, my casual friends, may I introduce you to your Thrasios?
Also, like, casual friends, may I introduce you to Chris Totem?
Yes, please. Like, I'm gonna, like, oh god, we need to, like, yeah. Like, Chris Totem, you're gonna need to start running it. Like, if you see Keenan, slam that thing.
That card is...
Right.
So, yeah, I'm gonna say that my commander of the Quarantine is Captain she's, what's she called again, actually?
Sissy: something.
Sissy Weatherlight Captain?
Oh, maybe? I don't know.
Because I only know Captain Sissy. I don't play this one as my commander, like, ever. This is the first time I actually constructed it. So, Igor, you said you didn't play anything, so, Nathan, you did mention some spicy brews you wanted to do with some commanders.
Well, there's a few things that have been going on recently. One, if anybody that knows me on Twitter, I've been, like, going nuts about Okima and Kazur, like, literally since the moment they were spoiled. Like, I was on Twitter when it was spoiled, and, like, I've been going nuts since then, but, like, I've just been loving that, like, so many people are catching on, or, like, so many people are starting to look at Okima and being like, these guys might actually be really good. And there's been, like, a lot of discussion around, like, the CDH Facebooks, and, like, it's just great. Like, I'm looking forward to these cards coming in, but unfortunately, due to the fact that, like, of, like, quarantine and whatnot, like, the, my LGS hasn't shipped the cards, or just shipped the cards, so I've been waiting for about, like, a month. So, like, I've been filling the void with going around to basically every person that I know that is testing and playing Okima and whatnot, and going through lists and whatnot, and just doing and compiling and trying to figure out where things are going to be once we all start getting back to, like, having a good time and being able to go out and play a lot. And so far, some of the brews have been fantastic. Like, we've got some people that are trying to learn. We've got the food chain combos. We've got people in Adnaz. And right now, like, the people that have been playing are really enjoying the fact that you can just lunacy slam a demonic consultation and just go ham from there. Like, which is kind of like the magic that I like to play, which is very aggressive. So, like, Okima is kind of like the insanity wolf. You just, like, scry food chain to the bottom of your library and cast consultation. You don't need anything. But, yeah, that's some of the brews that I've been seeing, like, going around.
Okay, then. You were going to say something?
No, I was just saying, was there another one?
Igor said he... So, Igor, do you want to say... give something, or...?
I've been, I've been more working on my Pathfinder campaign than I've been doing anything magic related since I'm waiting for the cards to arrive. Because yeah. I ordered a bunch of Daniel Magistrates, a bunch of the Mythos of Snapdex, cards like that, but I'm still waiting.
Yeah, I am not looking forward to playing against Draenor Magistrate at all.
I love him. I proxied him a bit a couple of weeks ago, played him against my girlfriend. She despises it, and I'm like...
Okay, the card is good.
Especially when combined with Uva.
Why are you like this?
I've been loving Uba Mask for years now, Nixia can attest it, but now it actually became, you know, playable.
Yeah, wow. I just... Why are you like this? I mean that
life has way. Life has been rough. Life has been rough, what can
and
I say?
Everybody, yeah, it's like, I'm like such a socialist. If I'm having pain, everybody needs to have some.
My pain is for the people. People have paid a bunch of money to play their cards, but I don't have that amount of money.
Yeah, so...
Can I stop them from playing their fancy cards? I can.
I got roped into, like... I knew some people that had, like, some reserve list cards, and I mean, playing... Like, actually, like, actively playing since, like, yearly... Not more since 93 and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we wanted to have a game of, no ban list commander. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't have that kind of collection that you guys do, but, like, alright, I can figure something else out. And I was just like, okay, cool. And they're like, oh, so what are you going to play? I'm like, oh, Leovold. And they're like, beg your pardon? I'm like, well, I'm just kind of looking at this. I'm kind of looking at this deck that I brewed up, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that I can hammer out a Tinker on, like, turn three into a puzzle box. And then it doesn't really matter what your cards are because you won't have any. And then they're just like, okay, maybe we should all play by the rules.
I'm looking at it this way. How much does a Mana Crypt cost?
$167 or something like that.
I'm betting your Stormy Silence is way less money than...
Oh, it is. Or a Collector Oof is only about 25 cents.
There you go. Easy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, every time... I have not been able to play my Elsha deck that I was having so much fun with that I got to play all my, like, blinged out invention, like, artifacts in. And I was like, oh, finally, I have an artifact deck that I can all play them in. And then, like, a little while later, Collector Oof was printed. And I have not been able to play that deck since.
Oof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not over why that card isn't white. But, you know.
No, it is a white card. It is 100%. It is Stony Silence. It is Null Rod. It is an artifact on a creature. It's an artifact on a creature. I thought that's what they set the precedent with when they started all the Magus of, like, the disc.
But green is a weak color that needs a bit more support.
No, green doesn't need any more support.
Apparently.
Green doesn't need it. Doesn't need it. At all. Why does green have a one mana cryptic command?
Why not?
Well, yeah, exactly.
You mean a cryptic command, a draw spell, protection spell, and all 60 things, because cryptic command can only do two things. This can do way more.
Yeah, it's a cryptic command with choose four.
Yeah. It's just like, what the hell?
Okay, at least cryptic command is a rare.
Well, yeah, that was one of the biggest insults that I've seen recently of just, like, why is this common? Well, first off, why did they print this? Secondly, why is this a common? What is that island? Mystic Sanctuary.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's not okay.
That's the balance.
Yeah, that's... like, you're playing a game of Magic, or you've got a bunch of shit on the stack. You think you countered them out and you're about to win, so they let everything resolve so that their, like, force of will goes to their graveyard and there's, like, a draw trigger on the stack somewhere, and then they crack a land and then put the force of will back on top of the library and draw it and then force you again. I'm just like, I hate you. I'm gonna reach across.
If you want to be super meta, they crack the fetch land and... put the thing on top, and then they cast the Veil of Summer.
Yeah, it's just like there are things that are like I've seen people messing around with consult lines using it. I'm like trying to use like or mimic Tess's ability to flash back demonic consultation, like using Mystic Sanctuary. I'm like that sounds okay. Sure.
See, that's why I play Mud. I don't have to deal with that broken bullshit.
Yeah.
That, and I'm a masochist, so.
Yeah. Masochist or a sadist?
Both. I'm a sadist because I play Stax pieces. I'm a masochist because I'm playing Mud for you.
Yeah, fair enough. It's like, it hurts me as much as it hurts you, but we're both gonna suffer. Only difference is I kind of like it.
It's more of a, I'm already dead inside.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just drag him down into the mud and play with him because at least you're comfortable being dirty.
Yep, but that's the martyr philosophy, I think, that works the best.
Yeah.
Well, here I was thinking that me playing Stax is making people, is trying to educate people to play more interactive cards, like, come on, do it. And it's like, no, you don't play it because of that. Okay.
Yes, but I sip a lot of dumb bitch juice, and we'll just try and go faster. And, like, that doesn't always work out. It really doesn't, because then all of a sudden they, like, actually catch you with your pants down and like, land something, and you're like, I'm in trouble.
Yep.
It's just like, so, like, what, it's like, I'm trying to teach you to be responsible, and I'm sitting there sticking, like, don't stick the fork in the light socket. Like, but what if I did? Like, no, be responsible, put the fork down. I'm like, but what if I did?
But what if I did with two forks?
Yeah, what about two forks? That's not one fork. Get away from the wall! No!
I've seen people trying to do that and it backfires. It's hilarious.
Yeah, no, it happens.
Yeah, but the guy was playing, when Nick and I were playing together, Bad Farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turn one, bunch of artifacts in play, and then the Stony Silence.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I make these stupid TikTok videos, is because of situations like that. I think they're all hilarious, and I take them in stride. Like, I think all of it's just funny and fun, but, like, I guess maybe I just enjoy magic, even sometimes when it feels like someone's got their hand around my throat.
Speaking of having fun with magic, do we want to try to have some fun making a magic deck?
What do you want to brew?
So, what we had in mind is taking the partners from Commander 20.
Which one?
Rolling 1d5. And see which deck, which partners we get, then trying to brew a deck around it.
Okay.
And let's pray we do not get number one, which is the Mardu deck. Drumroll, please. It is not Mardu.
Oh.
I love Mardu to death, but holy crap, are these mediocre.
So what did you get?
So, we have the best boy and his fetch friend. Kaldan, Avid Arcanist, and Paco, Arcane Retriever.
Oh.
I actually know somebody that is brewing the shit out of that and having a great time. And even Shaper has been like, no, it's, like, it's interesting.
So I think the first step we need to do is, what level of competitivity do we make this deck?
I don't know.
Well, let's try with the base level. So going fully CDH, what do we want to do?
What are people doing with?
I am actually on that. Brayden from CDH Cast has been brewing Halden and Paco, and actually has a Discord for it. And apparently, I'm not entirely familiar and with what has been going on with it, but it's mostly beat them to death with Paco. With Paco.
Funnily enough, that was Nyxia's plan when we were reviewing the C20. Just make Paco as big as possible, then smack people to death.
Yeah. Like, when I first saw it, I was just like, oh, the curve is off. That looks a little strange. And then people were, like, starting playing, and I was like, oh, yep, I was wrong. Card evaluation way off on that one. Apparently he gets huge.
Oh, yeah, I mean, if he gets... does he count your... of each player's... So, yeah.
Each player's.
So, attacking for 7 the moment he enters the battlefield, it kind of stings.
Let's do the proper first step and read what the hell do these guys do. Because this still isn't out, so not all people know things by names.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I'm going to start with... So, Paco, Arcane Retriever, is a 3 red-green for a 3/3 Elemental Hound, legendary creature. It partners with Haldan, Avid Arcanist. It has haste. Whenever Paco attacks, exile the top card of each player's library and put a fetch counter on each of them. Put a +1/+1 counter on Paco for each non-creature card exiled this way.
Nate, who's his buddy?
His buddy, sorry, I was caught reading. Haldan, Avid Arcanist, partner with Paco. You may play non-creature cards from exile with fetch counters on them if you exile them. You may spend mana as though or any color to cast these spells.
So he's here for the colors, isn't he?
He's basically, yes, from my limited understanding of the deck, he seems like he is here for the colors.
So what's the first card we want to put in the deck? Barring the staples like Sol Ring and
Dorks
other...
and stuff.
I would say the first thing I would put in the deck is the Sword of Feast and Famine. Because Sword of Feast and Famine just allows you to... when it's equipped to Paco, it's a lot more evasive against pretty relevant colors because he dodges dorks and he dodges removals. So he can hit and you can... Right after he hits, you can play Haldan and start casting those cards. It just gives you more options.
Yeah, it honestly, depends, from what Brayden's deck is compared to, is a turns-based, mid to late game deck, from my, again, very limited understanding of it. But where you can kind of go with this deck is... It's so, open-ended, it's hard to say what you kind of want to play with it.
I mean, that's why we're here trying to figure out what do we want to play with this.
Yeah, and I'm just staring at it going, I honestly don't know. This is one partner pair that I was not attracted to in the entire set. Other than trying to, go in and beat with Paco, I honestly can't think of something. Of all the weird shit that I think of, this one is not hitting it for me.
I mean, beating with Paco is a legitimate route.
Yeah.
I mean, we can just focus on that.
There is a line, I guess, if you can call it that, that you attempt to steal other people's strategies, by putting cards from their deck or hand or battlefield on top of their deck and then stealing it with Paco.
That's cute.
And
that's cute.
Trying to actually combo out with their cards. So with cards like Aether Gust, I guess.
Yeah, and it's with a lot of decks running kind of the same cards, just being able to if there are a bunch of people playing Demonic Tutors and other kind of powerful cards, just being able to snatch 3 cards off the top of somebody's library that you can hit their other cards that are outside of your colors opens you up to a very your strategy is my strategy.
So there's also, so what we should also consider is copying those spells, because bouncing just one thing to the top of the library is not good enough. We want to steal from as many people as we want from at every attack. So
Dual Caster Mage jumps here perfectly?
Dual Caster Mage and then the Twinning Staff. Because with twinning staff, you can actually just copy your spells even more times. I mean, twinning staff doesn't copy the spells themselves. So twinning staff is the 3-mana artifact that if you would copy a spell, you get another, you copy it again.
That's why it's a bit iffy.
Yeah, but you do want to play some form of copying spells in your deck, right? I just don't know by heart what, in what way.
I mean, if you're playing dual caster mage, Twin Flame should be an auto include.
Yeah, but that does sound kind of mana intensive. But you can also, would actually using, well, people are going to play around it when they're using Sensei's Divining Top, right? So Sensei's Divining Top kind of beats the whole purpose, but we just hope we don't run into Sensei's Divining Top or just, you know, destroy it.
Play Oof, I guess.
Oh yeah, the Oof.
There you go.
Oh yeah, with, but... well, actually you can just go in a stacks heavy meta, you can become the stacks.
But dual caster mage with Inflame, that's just what, 5 mana, right, to win the game?
I mean, you don't... Okay, I mean, you don't win the game.
You have a bunch of dudes that are gonna smack you. Most of the time you win.
Okay. Okay, yeah. But are our opponents using that strategy?
No, but you said if we're copying stuff, right? Dual Caster Mage is a perfect addition. So yeah. Might as well take in a slot to just put Twin Flame.
I just, since we were doing this at random, I'm not... I don't know any by heart, but like Aether Gust and there's that Aether Spouts, I think. Those all put stuff on the top of their owner's libraries or bottom. So those could be useful. But that does sound like a pretty... It's a risky strat. I don't think it can work that well. So the Paco beatdown plan sounds like the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we...
Is there a way in Magic that we can force people to draw cards on top of the library and put their hands on top of the deck?
Not that I know of.
Because I know Scroll Wreck is a thing, but that's just for us.
Yeah.
This color pairing is weird.
It is, especially since we're working with a partner that has one commander, because Haldan isn't really used that much.
Yeah, at least like in Ukima and Khazar, like we kind of joked about how Khazar was like only there for the color identity. Like, but at least for me, like in mid-range to late games, like through like other people's playing it and whatnot, we've seen that like commander damage can become a thing. So, but like Paco does that part too. He is your kind of engine to create card advantage. He is your beat stick. He is almost your win condition. And like Haldan is literally there just to make those fetch counters relevant.
What are some good ways in top tier decks to make sure that Paco can smack people in the face?
To make sure that he can smack people in the face? I don't know. But, like, extra turns are basically mono blue extra combat spells. So being able to fire those off are always fun.
Okay,
I kind of wish we rolled anything besides this.
Yeah. Well, wanna just go to another commander? Because this one seems kind of straightforward when you think about it. Just include cards that allow Paco to be more evasive. Use protection spells like the Sweat and Guardmanship. It's like, it's really not that complicated to build this deck. It's just that, I mean, yeah, it's basically that. It's not, I don't think it's that
Yeah, like, again, I wish it was a different commander.
So, do I just roll another d4?
How about we just pick one that's not Mardu?
Wow.
Because... I don't know, like, is there a way we could actually, like I was honestly sitting down trying to figure out if there was some dumb way we could use, like, anything in that to make it work. And, like, my...
I mean, we could actually I think try.
I think I can.
Okay, then apparently we're gonna face the demons we were gonna shy away from.
No, well, I honestly think that, like, I was just like, wait, no, I've got this. Alright, so follow me along a little weird trip for a second. Mardu, World Gorger Dragon Reanimator.
Okay.
So the idea is resolve some kind of like a buried alive effect or get your World Gorger online to create infinite mana with the reanimation effect, and then break the cycle with a some kind of pinger, like a Blood Artist effect or a Zulaport Cutthroat or something that will just kill somebody, or maybe even like that new Corpse Knight whenever a creature leaves or enters the battlefield, any kind of like Mardu pinger. And then once you've created infinite mana, cast both your commanders and then sacrifice your commander to the cat as a sacrifice outlet to it, like, and then recast infinitely your commander and ping everybody to that.
Well, it is a way, since your win conditions are both in the command zone.
Yes, so you basically just win off of Buried Alive.
Oh.
I like the card Buried Alive.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it kind of doesn't work, but if you, like, create some kind of infinite mana loop, you can sap your commander, or one of your commanders, to your other commander, recast it, and if you got some kind of effect or ETB or sac effect, like any kind of thing, you basically just kill everybody.
So it's a build your own food chain without the green.
Correct. Mardu food chain.
Huh.
So what are all the cards that we should consider for this deck, besides the World Gorger Dragon?
So essentially what I would do as cards to start looking at would be Rakdos World Gorger Dragon builds, but like start picking in some like good enchantment tutors from white, because like being able to find your anime dead off of an enlightened tutor is pretty nifty. And essentially just start building from there. Like, you're going to be on some kind of like, essentially speaking, like, well, from what I'm thinking, since you don't have access to green, you're going to be on your pyroclasms or some kind of disruption effect until you're able to set up your World Gorger Dragon loop. And so, like, because, like, if you're trying to do something weird, anytime you're trying to do something weird, try and play the best cards you can around it to back up that weird idea. So, taking what we think is probably, like, you guys are the Mardu experts. So, like, building your Staxi, Hateberry, Reanimator, like, essentially Alesha with worse commanders and a World Gorger Dragon package is how I would think about it. I don't know, that's just me spitballing.
Yeah, I was just wondering...
to build this deck.
I was just... He's really tempted.
I'm sorry. You're welcome. But yeah, so, like, I don't know, that's where I think you go, like... like, you hand me, like, open, very open-ended commanders like Hotland and Paco, and I'm just like, I don't know what to do here, but if you give me a sack outlet, I'm like, I know what to do here.
Hold my World Gorger Dragon.
Hold my World Gorger Dragon, bitch. YOLO.
How good this would be? Tier 3?
I mean, you're playing stacks, right? This would be like a typical stacks deck?
I don't really know how things work with tiers and whatnot, because like I've seen a lot of stupid shit work, and I've also seen a lot of great stuff not work. But where would this fall? This is definitely, like, not... It's like, Alesha is already kind of fringe, and I think this would be kind of, like, a worse Alesha.
Oh, trust me, I know exactly how fringe Alesha is.
Yeah, exactly. You are very able to speak on that. But, like, it's an even fringier Alesha. But does it sound fun? Yes.
It sounds... I kind of want to...
It sounds just dumb enough that you want to play it, and those are the kind of decks that I brew.
It's a big shame that Silvar says sacrifice a human, so you don't actually get to do the Sun Titan.
It's very specific about like the sacrifice a human, so which is why I was originally kind of down on it, and then I was like, oh wait, but the other commander is.
Also think to maybe add to the deck, since you're going to be playing with Anime Dead, right? And with the Pingers, like Blood Artist. Add the Leon in Relic Warder.
Leon in Relic Warder? Yeah!
Because that's kind of a backup combo.
Yeah, you could add a little Razzicats in there. Like, also, like if depending on your stacks, your creature stacks density, you just throw Razzicat in there. And like,
yeah, you can do that.
You can use Razzicat as an engine, like a reanimation, like being able to reanimate Razzicat and then sack out your hate pieces or whatnot to be able to combo off or use them as an engine, because since you're already reanimating big beater, like big bad things, like go for it.
Let's not forget. Let's just not forget that a conspiracy is a card that exists, so the human clause can be applied to anything.
But that's
that is true.
I know, but you know, it's still a thing you can do.
Even I who play such janky trash cards, I'm like, I'm a bit on the whole thing.
No, I'm sure that you can do something with, including Mothra as well. Oh, I mean. You can also use Mothra and what's it called? Solemnity.
Yeah.
So
it's a little harder to assemble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. It might be. But
We do have enchantment tutors that we can have creatures and stuff tutors.
So enchantment so the enchantment tutors are it's solved. The creature tutors, it's solved because we have black and we have white.
Yeah.
So all we need is a Silvar, we need Mothra, and we need a human to recur, and preferably Blood Artist is a vampire, right?
Then
Zulaport Cutter works, and just get Solemnity, so you have to tutor for two cards and you have your commander, so that's... No, you have to tutor for three cards.
Three cards, yeah, that's my... See, like, when I'm trying to... Like, the way that I build janky shit is I have a tendency, like, because I know it's already not gonna be good, I try to find, like, one plan and then, like, focus. But that's, like, the way... And then just try and make sure that that one thing... Because you've got so much already working against you that you can't... I find, personally, that trying to include too many other things already sets me back further than I'm already further back. So, like, the things that I'd be looking for instead of, like, backup win plans or is more ways of making sure that it actually... Like, my main win condition actually achieves... its goal. So I'd just probably go harder on tutors and like harder on stacks and make sure that I lock people down until I'm able to pull off some Hail Mary World Forger loot.
And be smart and don't play so many stacks pieces that stacks you as well.
Exactly. But that's for stacks. But again, you guys are the stacks people that I know.
You are talking to the person who often reanimates Kiki Jiki while forgetting that he has his own Chris Totem on the battle.
Magic is sometimes like that.
You see,
I do often like to put my balls on the anvil and hit myself with a hammer, yes.
Yes, yeah, that happens a few times. I actually have a TikTok video I want to make soon about one of the most traumatic magic experiences I ever had. And that shall be funny, because laughing at it now, it was fun.
But the living through it was pain.
Let's just say I have not fucked up a doomsday pile since then.
Oh!
Could I tell you the stories of doomsday?
Oh,
how
please.
Many times I fucked it up?
Oh yeah, no, like that again. Like that's why I make these videos, because like anybody that's played Doomsday as usually has a story to tell.
I most and often a lot about my girlfriend staring at me like, okay, can you win? I was like, yeah, I. Or I put it up, and she's like, okay, I'll smack you with the 5/5 dragon. Boop.
Yeah, it's like, oh, goddamn. Nothing's worse than Doomsday Pass.
So I learned maybe I shouldn't be playing. Kids, if a deck isn't suited for you, maybe you shouldn't be playing.
I just was... Now it's like the pile is ingrained in the back of my eyes, so anytime I go for it, it's just like, no, I know what I'm getting now. I know what I'm getting now.
Can you play Doomsday anymore?
Can you play Doomsday now?
In Mardu.
In Mardu?
How stupid are you? Speaking for myself, I'm quite stupid. I know you really shouldn't, because Grenzo is already a thing.
Hold on, no. Yeah. Well, hold on a second. Well, for this loop... Hold on. Fuck. Okay, so I'm thinking, like, because I do a World Gorger Dragon loop in my Golos deck, but I have access to blue. But, like, thinking about that pile, it's you crack the pile, then you Thought Scour yourself to dump two cards into your graveyard, and then draw a card. And that draws Animate Dead, and then I cast that, and then go off. So there, if there's a way to make a Doomsday pile, somehow crack it, and then...
I mean, Faithless Looting can...
Yeah. So if you... somehow Faithless Looting, you draw two cards, you can get Animate Dead and World Gorger Dragon. Discard two cards, discard World Gorger Dragon and whatever else from your hand. Then cast World... but we need to summon... We need to somehow get a... We need these... We can set up the infinite loop, but we don't have the pinger in there, and that's where...
Did I just set up the exact amount of stupid you like?
Yeah, it's just like, hold on a second. No, there's gotta be a way. Like, I'll be sitting here until like 3 o'clock in the morning going like, no, there's gotta be a way to make a Mardu Doomsday pile. Mardu World Gorger Doomsday pile.
That's already sounds dumb enough.
Yeah, 100%. But that also is like, I would think about that, because that is like a one card way to get into the win conditions that are already in your deck. So like that kind of jank, I would be like, yeah, I'll season that with a Doomsday pile. Why not?
You're really tempting me to build this stupid.
I'm tempting myself to build this stupid pile of nonsense, but like, go for it, please, because I want to see how it works. Like, there's got to be a way. Like, as I was saying to you guys, like, one of my first decks was for rules. So I'm like, a sacrifice outlet in the command zone is a thing. We can make it work. Is it going to be good? No. But is it going to work? Yes.
Maybe.
Sometimes. 10% of the time, maybe. But it might work.
I really wish they just put sacrifice instead of it.
Yeah, if it was just sacrifice a creature, yes. It would be a lot easier.
Is there an artifact that... Wait, we have that colossal hammer that makes you lose flying.
Yeah, and gives you plus 10.
But, wait... Is there a card that says when something enters the battlefield, equip it with something?
Sigarda's Aid.
It does?
Yeah.
Sigarda's Aid does it for all your equipment.
So technically, we can use the Colossal Hammer to remove flying from the creature we sacrificed to Mothra, right?
Oh god.
It doesn't have...
Oh god.
It doesn't have flying, so it does come back, and we don't even need a sac outlet, because we can do that with Kroxa. Because it sacrifices itself.
How do flying counters and flying interact?
It's... Also, with Sigarda's aid, it's whenever a
equipment
enters the battlefield, you can attach it to a creature. Not whenever a creature enters the battlefield, you can attach
So, sticking to the solemnity plan. So, all I need is Solemnity, Mothra, and what's he called? I just said his name, Kroxa. So that by itself goes infinite, but. You know, you can do that in any Mardu deck, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of any Mardu deck, I was going to say, if you're going to focus on equipments a bit, people do play Stoneforge Mystic and Alesha deck. Some people just play to get Skullclan. And that's already good enough. So you know, you might actually zero in on that idea.
You know, I mean, there is probably a really, really... convoluted way to make the Colossal Hammer work. You just need something to untap your creatures when a creature enters the battlefield. So you can use any of those creatures that untap equip. Just put an just equip a creature.
Is there a way for us to blink a creature any amount of times?
No, you don't have to blink. You just need the thing you're that's coming in from the graveyard to untap your stuff. Because we're using silver to sacrifice it, we use Mothra to get it back. The only thing we need is to make it lose flying that doesn't include Solemnity.
Plus, how legit is using silver as a backup win condition just to smack people in the face?
That
seems iffy.
It seems iffy because of that sacrifice of human.
Partly because if we plan to play stacks and for the long game, part of me really wants to put Assemble the Legion.
Oh my.
Oh.
Really want to put... But those are not humans, that's the problem.
No,
oh yeah, they're... But they are with Conspiracy.
Just that. They are just a bunch of dudes. And if you can stack the game long enough, there will be a bunch of...
Yeah, I mean, but then again,
what? It's not a smart plan. Not a smart plan. What I'm suggesting, but.
But you can also include, you know, the greatest character in Magic history.
Oh God.
To you know, really? enhance your punching power with them because they are red and white.
To fill you in with some Elder Dragon lore. We have a theory that Agroskos from Ravnica is the biggest OG ever in Magic.
He is the most powerful entity in the multiverse.
Who's this?
So, Agroskos is a character from original Ravnica.
Okay.
Or how we call it, Ravnica. And his feats include...
Arresting
a 10,000-year-old almighty, all-powerful vampire, which is Sadek, and beating a defenseless old man nearly to death, and that is Grand Arbiter Augustin.
Oh, Jesus.
Those things happened in the novel, so yeah.
Yeah.
But what he also does is... Well, he's so tough, he can go through a lot of things. So he's super tough. He only died because he fell from a dragon into a gutter. That did kill him, right?
Yep, and then he had a life that also, so he became a spirit.
Yeah, so he became a spirit that had to serve the Azorius.
Azorius.
And while he was a spirit, he took possession of one of the... one servant of the Simic, to infiltrate the Simic, and he went up to Momervig, their lead scientist, and after hearing how completely deranged and crazy he is, he just snapped his neck. Just like that.
Oh.
He just, like, this man is too crazy to live. And he just snapped his neck. And
don't forget how his story ends. He is sent to a spirit city above Ravnica to eternally fight Zadok.
Yeah, because he apparently is the only being in existence destined to hold Zadok back. Because literally nobody else can stand up to Zadok. Not even the legions of angels of Ravnica.
Now, mechanically wise, his effects is 5 mana, 3-3. Whenever... is it when he attacks or whenever you control attacks?
Well, let's see.
I think it's whenever he attacks, your white creatures get +0.
So whenever... Yeah.
Get +2/+0.
Yeah, so basically when he attacks, he gives your red, white dudes +2/+2. So he does... So he is, like, really bad, but...
Yeah.
They just had to do this to withhold his true power because, you know, he was too strong for the universe, so they had to somehow kill him. Yeah. But, unfortunately, he was retconned out of existence, so he technically doesn't exist in Magic anymore.
For some reason.
So, yeah, that's a short... That's just a short version. But, yeah, so he can... So he can be, like... So, where were we? We were at Assemble the Legion, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really a bummer that they're not humans.
I don't see why they're not, but...
Oh, it's the same reason why Raise the Alarm that makes soldiers and not humans, so they can trigger Wynota. So, because why not... I'll throw myself out.
Good.
Okay, so we got to that part. Is there anything else?
Just thinking outside of the box, can we put something with Sir Conrad the Grim?
Sir Conrad the Grim? Mono black?
Yeah, but in this deck, can we make an infinite amount of dudes? Let them die.
I mean, there is the World Gorger loop.
Yeah. Just sounds like another World Gorger outlet.
Which isn't a bad thing to consider.
Nope.
In conclusion, what we have here is Doomsday and sometimes World Gorger loop with Silver and Trin.
I think it's more of a World Gorger and sometimes Doomsday.
Yeah, World Gorger sometimes Doomsday.
Okay. And if you're into extra jank to make people question why they're playing with you, you can also do the whole Mothra thing.
But yeah, hit him with a World Gorger Dragon.
Yeah, did see? This turned out not so bad. And it was the Mardu one.
Yeah, I love Mardu. I really love Mardu.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I get to play things like Fiend Hunter. And wait, I can use Fiend Hunter as a removal spell if I have the Silver out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I know they're dumb. I know they're actually, like, way worse than they should be.
Yep.
I would go stupid and include Kiki Jiki, because why not? Why the hell not? We're doing it.
Kiki Jiki, Zealous Conscripts.
And, what is that for one? Combat Celebrant, right?
I think so. I don't know.
Plus, isn't. Oh, yeah. Village Bell Ringers is a human.
Yep.
So we can use that as well.
Oh, that's the one that untaps our guys that equip.
There you go.
Oh!
See, this deck is getting somewhere.
Oh, okay, okay. We got there.
Oh my god. Thymna is a human. That's the best thing ever.
So you can actually draw cards in the deck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Plus both the recruit is a human, the Gandabolisher is a human. Life's good.
Oh, yeah. Just a random side note. I'm still on the fence about this, but I'm thinking of including Etrata in my Sisse. Just because Sisse can always tutor Etrata. So in three attacks, I can technically just kill someone. I don't know how people would react to getting killed by Etrata in Commander, but it is something I'm willing to risk. So,
there we go.
Okay, so now that we successfully brewed with Silvar and Trin, I was just wondering if you guys had any ideas for Yannick and Nikara? The absent pairing?
Give me a second.
Because I was thinking about them, and while I wasn't thinking about a clear win condition, I was thinking about building like a rune deck, but skip the rune and just play Yannick and Nikara, because they have some ways of actually just flickering your stuff. So if you ever wanted to play rune, but you wanted to play Abzan instead, they might be the pair for doing that.
I mean, Abzan Food Chain is also an option.
Because when food...
You really like Food Chain, don't you?
I like sacking things. But no, I'm looking at it, and like, you know, Yannick says whenever it ETBs, exile another creature you control until Yannick leaves the battlefield. When you do, distribute X-1/1 counters mount target creature with exile power. And then Nikara says when another creature you control leaves the battlefield that had one or more counters on it, you draw a card and lose one life. So if you find a way, if you set up like a food chain loop, you can draw into a whole bunch of cards.
Until you get dangerous, until you get into bolt range, then you stop.
Yeah. Well, go ad nauseam nuts.
Gee, Niksha, who would play Lightning Bolt in Commander?
I don't know. Maybe people who play red?
Yeah, sometimes you gotta hit him with a Lightning Bolt right now.
Niksha, please tell him the story.
Oh, so in our competitive league of CDH, we were at a we were at a pod, and our good friend was on Zur.
Hi, Mate.
And what happened is we were playing. I was playing Joyra of the Gitu, and there was a Narset and a Yuriko at our table. And the thing is, the Zur went off. He started drawing a bunch of cards. He did his necropotence. He played his necropotence, and I'm like, I have a bolt in hand, and I'm like, okay, now draw 35 cards, please. Draw 35 cards, and he's like, I'm going to draw 33 cards, which leaves him at 5. And that's not ideal, because, you know, Bolt deals 3. And I was like, dude, you need the consistency, so you can draw 2 more cards, right? And I was like, no, I'm good. I think I can win with this. And he started rolling, and I'm just sitting there with my lonesome Lightning Bolt in hand, and him with his 30-plus cards in hand, he's just flashing in stuff. And I'm tempted to just bolt him, just for the lulz, until at one point he played a Vampiric Tutor. So, it's like, okay, you play Vampiric Tutor, yes. You lose to life, yes. Okay, response. I bolt you. And he was like, looking at bolt. Looking at me, looking at his half of his deck in his hands, And he's like, wait, the first trigger the fish and the study.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay. He's drawing some cards. He's trying to get more cards into his hand. He's just panicking and looking what can he do, and until he finally realized that he doesn't have a free counter spell in his hand at that point. And it's like, I die to Bolt.
Yep.
And then we lost to Narset because, you know, that's what happens.
That's
but
for you.
I consider that game an absolute win for me because I managed to kill someone with a single Bolt. And yeah, that's when he started respecting the Bolt. And
respect the Bolt.
And he started dropping to 4 life instead of 3. So yeah, there we go. Next up is to kill somebody with needle drop.
Oh dear.
That might take some time, but I believe. I believe in the needle.
It's gonna be next.
So yeah, that was our brewathon with the we didn't go through Shabraz and Browlin, but they're also super open-ended, I think.
Deals and deals.
Oh yeah, no, that's that one was also I was in the middle of watching the Command Zone spoil that one, and I took one look at that and I'm like, la 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 la, I know what I'm doing with that. Like, it was immediately took one look at it, and it was just like, okay, so plan A, throw a curiosity on it with 8 cards in hand, let's get to the end step and just murder everybody.
That of course.
Awesome. Yeah, it's just like, it's like Flying Shark Nekasar. There's, someone made a, like, a great joke about it, but I can't remember it right now, and it's killing me. Again, something else I'll remember at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh no, that was about the that was Snekusar.
Yeah, the Snekusar.
Snekusar. But yeah, like Jeskai Gitrog was so what Braden was calling it, and like it's kind of like a Jeskai Niv-Mizzet. You can essentially just go from there. Like basically take your normal Niv-Mizzet build, add white to be able to find your curiosity, and then just go nuts. You'll have an easier time casting your commanders than you will in a Niv-Mizzet.
Definitely.
And, like, you still can throw in all your same Niv-Mizzet combos, like your Glinthorn Buccaneer with Ophidian Eye, and your, like, just reuse your same combo pieces and just wheel, like, until you hit your payload. It's, yeah, it looks like a fun deck. I've seen it played a couple times, and it just looks like big wheelie style.
Mm-hmm. So, do we have any closing words?
No, just thanks for reaching out. It was fun talking to you guys.
Nate, where can people find you if they search?
Oh, you can if you're on Twitter, you can hit me up at chefdet at underscore chefdetpool on Twitter, or at demonic consultations on TikTok.
I mean, we would love it to have any time. Did you
well,
go choose if you're bored enough?
Yeah, well, we'll think of something. Maybe we'll all just go build this Sylvar deck and then come back and see what the hell we came up with.
Well, I'm not really sure. Should I help you, resist the urge, or help you give in to it?
I don't know, probably about 3 hours, and I'll be like, okay, bored now.
Oh no, I will most likely assemble, will trip over it, because that's just the way I go.
Yeah, yeah.
I will play the Will Gorge Dragon, and somebody will remove it.
Yeah, yeah, but that's also why you play Will Gorge Dragon, because it's like, you gotta have it if you don't, or you're going out for a smoke.
Yeah. Not sure if I have balls.
Hmm?
I'm not sure if I have balls enough to play with Roll Gorger.
Oh, It's fun. You sometimes, like, it's either you like you win or you're going out for a cigarette. And sometimes you need to just make it happen.
I'm sure you'll be fine. So, for reference, I will try to make. I will make sure that Igor builds the deck.
Nice.
And include Mothra.
You'll get me Mothra?
Well, if I have to, then damn it shall be done.
Nice.
Well, this was episode 115 of the Elder Dragon Dome podcast. This is your host, Igor. As always, with me is my co-host, Niksha, and also Nate.
Thank you. Hi. And I'll see you guys later.
Say bye, guys, and have fun.
Bye, guys.
And as always, the Emperor protects. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.